Amen. Well, thank you again for being here. I need to share one other announcement with you. What's really ironic is it was probably more important to the first service that I shared this announcement and I completely forgot than it is to you guys, and that is this. We've received new regulations or updated regulations from our government concerning religious gatherings and spiritual gatherings. And so as a result of that, we actually have to make a change to our service times. Now, don't panic. For you, it's no big deal because this service time doesn't change. However, we do have to move our 9 o'clock service to 8:30. So we will be changing our service times to 8:30 and 10:30. We have to allow a 1 hour time difference between our services. So it's not going to affect you unless you enjoy the early service sometimes as well. I know especially as we move into summer, many of us like to come to those earlier services so we have the rest of the wonderful weather. And certainly, I know at some point we're going to get summer around here, right? Sometime it's going to happen. So anyways, I needed to make that announcement to you. We'll be sending out WhatsApps and emails and SMSs this week to reinforce that. For those of you who were in the first service and maybe you're watching this one later online, I'm sorry I forgot to tell you, but we will be having 8:30 and 10:30 service times starting next week because we definitely want to be in compliance with all of the rules and make sure that we're doing everything according to those in authority over us have asked us to do. Well, this morning we're going to keep on with our series from the book of Colossians. I hope that since we started this series last Sunday, that you have made Colossians a part of your daily reading time. If you haven't so far, I would strongly encourage you to do so. I believe that you're going to be blessed as you dig into this book, and we're gonna keep going this week looking at Colossians. I know that there's a lot for God's Word to teach us from the book of Colossians. Over the last couple of years, there has been a lot of focus on this thing called fake news. How many of you have heard of fake news? You know what I'm talking about, fake news? Come on, I know, we all know what fake news is. Do you remember when like lockdown first started and this year first started, like the government had to actually come out and make these big pronouncements about, hey guys, stop spreading all of this fake news on WhatsApp. Do you remember that? I mean, it's like WhatsApp is a breeding ground for fake news. Any of you get like crazy articles, crazy memes and stuff on WhatsApp? Yeah, some of you send them to me. I know you get them. I'm just kidding. None of you send me those. But it's like fake news is this big deal, and it's not just a South Africa thing. It literally is a big deal all over the world. And fake news is this sort of, I don't know what it would be in somebody's heart or mind or would motivate a person to do that, but it always seems like there's this drive or these people. And as I was thinking about it, I realized that fake news isn't something that's new. Fake news has been going on for a long time. There's always been that person who wants to say crazy things to stir up people up, right? I mean, all of us had that crazy aunt, you know, when the families would get together, she always had that crazy story to tell or this rumor or this thing that she heard about, and she would spread this stuff around. Anybody else have a crazy aunt? Just me, okay. My aunts are in America, they're not watching, so I can talk about them. See, it's all good. There's always that person, right? And I don't know, our fake news can even take on other forms, like old wives' tales or sayings that you hear, and you like build up these things in your heart, this fear or anxiety, all about these old sayings. Like for instance, one of them that I remember distinctly made such an impression on me as a kid was I was told to me many times that if you drank coffee when you were a kid before you were fully grown, that coffee would stunt your growth. Have any of you ever heard that before? Any of you ever heard that coffee stunts your growth? That's good. None of you ever heard that. I heard that a lot as a kid, and I just want to tell you that it messed me up. Like it created a lot of fear in me. Now I stood up just so you could make sure that you could see. It's probably apparent my family is a little bit vertically challenged. It means I'm short. It means we're all short. And here's the thing. My dad, I love my dad. He's great. He's amazing. But my dad is, he's shorter than I am. My dad is a short dude. He also is the greatest consumer of coffee I have ever seen in my life. Some of my earliest childhood memories are provoked when I smell coffee, because from the time my dad got up in the morning until he went to bed at night, that guy was drinking coffee. And so when people said, if you drink coffee, it will stunt your growth, I believed them. I was worried. I was fearful that if I drank coffee, and I didn't drink coffee till I was like 30 years old, because I kept trying to grow, folks, and it didn't work. But, you know, when you believe these things, they can affect you, right? And this idea that there are things on the outside, things that you can believe or do or ideas or concepts that can stunt your growth, that can prevent you. And it's a principle that, while may not be true about coffee, I believe that it is true about our spiritual life. I believe that there are things that we can believe or think or do that can stunt our spiritual growth and development. In fact, as I read the book of Colossians, I believe that Paul was trying to make it clear to the church at Colossae that there were things that they were doing, or there were things that they were believing, or there were things that they were embracing about themselves, lives, and others, their lives and others, that were stunting their spiritual growth. Last Sunday, we made a statement as a part of the message, and if you're a note taker, I hope that you took this note down. If you're not a note taker, I would encourage you to take this note down, because I believe it's a part of the theme, if you will, for the book of Colossians, and it's an important principle for us to learn, and that is this: an inferior view of Jesus produces a stunted way of existence. An inferior view of Jesus stunts our growth. It stunts our lives. It stunts our view of ourselves, our view of others, and our belief about God's power in the world and what it means to us. As we began this series last week, we started shifting our view of Jesus in particular, from inferior to superior. In this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he made the point, Christ is supreme. He's supreme over creation. He's supreme over our sins. He's supreme over anything and everything. The power of Christ is complete, and it is supreme. If you weren't here last week or you weren't able to listen online, I would strongly encourage you to go to our website or go to any one of our social media streams, and you can download last week's message. I believe that we came to understand the importance of Christ's supremacy and exactly what it means in our lives as we shift our perspective of Christ from inferior to superior. There are all kinds of pressures and stresses and belief systems that exist in our world that is constantly trying to pick apart, that is constantly trying to diminish the superiority of Christ. And unfortunately, I believe that for many of us, even those of us in the church, that if we're not careful, we can embrace belief systems and things that people say about Jesus that takes away from his power, that takes away from his glory. And we can begin to believe those things. And as a result of believing those things, we lose strength and we lose faith in our own spiritual journey. I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 3. I want to read verses 1 to 4 to you. It says this: Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For Christ, who is your life, appears. Then you also will appear with him in glory. See, we have to understand that reaching our full potential means understanding that death brings fullness of life. Now that seems like a backwards concept to us, but it is a biblical concept, and it's significant for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. Death in Christ produces fullness of life in and through you and I. I want you to notice Paul's words very carefully. He says, since you have been raised with Christ. See, Paul predicated what he was about to say about how folks in the church, how the church at Colossae, how people like you and I should live, act, feel, how the things that we should believe, the confidence that we should have in ourselves. He predicates all of it on this understanding of our union with Christ and what that practically means to you and I as we live every day. Paul references the fact that we have died and we are now hidden in Christ and that we have been raised in Christ. He says, now that you have been raised in Christ, or you have been raised with Christ. So he's saying, all of what I'm about to say is predicated on the fact of Christ's resurrection power being at work inside of you. Now, this is a shift for many of us, and we may hear things like this from Scripture, and we may say, well, how does this affect me? How does this change my everyday life? See, here's one of the problems, especially when it comes to the power of Christ or the power of resurrection, is we believe in the power of resurrection for the future, but we don't understand the power of resurrection for today. We believe as Christians that one day we will be resurrected with Christ and we will go to heaven, but what we don't understand is that Jesus brought the kingdom to earth now, here, today. That resurrection power means something to you right now, not just in the future. When Jesus rose from the dead, in that moment, he became victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And in that moment, he allowed or produced that power in you and I. In other words, it's not just something for the future, it's for you and I here, now, today. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says this, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Many of us are familiar with the practice of water baptism. The Bible teaches, Jesus taught himself, that in the example that he himself set for us in water baptism, that as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be baptized in water as well when we surrender to Christ. And often, again, I'm afraid that when we participate in baptism or when we see baptism or think about baptism, we only think about its future effect and not understanding that when we are baptized in water, we are illustrating what has already happened in us spiritually. Not just what will happen in the future, but what has already happened. We have already been raised from the dead. Not physical death. We have been raised from our spiritual death. That there is a transition that happens in our life, that we are no longer under the power of this age, that we are no longer under the power of sin, that we walk in life. So if this death that Paul was talking about, if this death that water baptism illustrates isn't a physical death, what is it that dies? What is it in us that is supposed to die? What is it that lives? What in us is supposed to be brought back to life? You see, often as we look at Scripture, we don't understand that God is saying to us, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I want you to fully live today. God desires for us to be fully alive in 2020. Not in the future someday. God wants us to be fully alive, to walk in the fullness of his power, even through a global pandemic, even when we're walking through problems and situations, the power of God is still at work. Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 says this, since you died with Christ, get this, to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Let me read this again. since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. I've been fortunate to live a few places in the world, and one of the things that I think is so interesting and fascinating in the 4 years that I've lived here in Durban is that there just seems to be a great sensitivity to the spirit realm in Durban. And I don't have a lot of time to talk about it this morning, and I think there's some reasons why. There's a sensitivity and an awareness and an activity of spirituality that exists in this city. But as Durbanites, people who live in this area, we certainly understand spiritual forces that are at work. They're illustrated all around us in all the various cultures that exist within this city. We see spirituality and we see expressions of spiritual forces. And I'm afraid for those of us who live in this kind of environment, when we don't fully understand the Word of God, sometimes we can allow our understanding of that spirituality or those spiritual forces, we can allow those things to cause us to live in fear and anxiety and bondage that God never intended for us. Let me say it to you this way. Paul is writing to the church at Colossians, and he's speaking to people who understood spiritual forces. Remember, we talked about it last week. There were a lot of cults. There were a lot of people who worshiped spirits and angels and demons and all kinds of things in that particular city. And so as a result, there was a lot of spirituality in that city. Also, as a result, there were many people who were coming to know Jesus who were coming out of these spiritual practices. The unfortunate reality was they were bringing with them superstitions. They were bringing with them old wives' tales. They were bringing with them an awareness, and that awareness was creating fear and anxiety. And so even though they were believers, they still were believing the old superstitions. They still believed the demon could get them. They still believed that if they didn't do certain things, they wouldn't satisfy the ancestors, and therefore they might have bad luck. Does any of this sound familiar? Hello? Even though they were Christians, they were still struggling with this stuff. And their culture and their society around them was constantly putting pressure on them to these spiritual realities. And as Paul, as we talked about last week, was teaching them that Christ is supreme over all things, including all principalities and all powers, he was making them aware. He was helping them to understand that, listen, if you are in Christ, you are free from the rule of any spiritual power that may exist in this earth. In other words, you don't have to live your life in any fear. You don't have to live your life practicing certain things or doing certain things to pacify or satisfy these spiritual realities. You are free because you are in Christ. I wonder how many of us live in bondage. How many of us live in fear? How many of us are submitting to the rules because we think we're supposed to follow the rules? Now get this, it becomes even more twisted. Because as those people were coming into the church, they were bringing with them these old wives' tales. They were bringing with them these superstitions. They were bringing with them these belief systems. And what they were doing was they were twisting Christianity. They were twisting the Word of God to make it fit their fears, to make it fit their culture, to make it fit their spiritual realities. And so they were adding on to their salvation. They were adding on to the work of Christ all of these rules that they would have to follow. They would say these things about do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules were all there because man was trying to achieve fullness. They were trying to control or pacify their spiritual environment in their own power. And when Paul was saying to them, listen, we don't control or pacify our spiritual environment through our own power, not through our own actions and activities, not through believing these things or practicing these things. We are free and we are empowered because of the work of Christ. Paul says, listen, death to self, the death that we die in Christ, death to self means we die to the striving, to the performing of this world and the performing of the world system. So there were these ceremonial laws, there were these religious practices, do not touch, do not handle, do not taste, that had become incorporated into their spirituality. And when they really examined them, those things were not in alignment with what it actually meant to be a follower of Jesus. They were actually rules that had been created by culture. They were actually rules that had been created for a man to try to achieve his spiritual freedom and try to achieve his spiritual capacity in his own power rather than trusting in the work of Jesus Christ. Let me take this a little bit further. See, the truth is, you and I have an enemy. We have an enemy of our soul, the devil, who wants to do everything that he can do. He wants to do everything that he can do to create a system around us that causes us to not walk in power and to not reach our potential in Christ. The enemy of our soul has orchestrated and implemented a system of belief, a system of culture, a system of thinking that appears to bring life, that appears to bring fullness. It appears on the surface like it's going to get us to where we want to go, like it's going to produce in our lives what it is we really want and we really desire. But the truth is these things, these ceremonial laws, these things to pacify the spirits are to satisfy culture or to achieve the rules of life. These things are all there to keep us in bondage, to keep us striving to keep the rules that have been made up by man. These rules that do not lead to hope, they do not lead to life, they do not lead to joy, they do not lead to peace. All they do is lead to more striving. What do you mean by that, Pastor Randy? What I mean is anything in our spirituality, anything in our culture that is performance-driven and performance-oriented only leads to more performance. And within the church at Colossae, Paul was writing to Christians and he was saying, listen, you have added to your spirituality performance-oriented things that don't produce peace in your life. They don't produce joy. They don't produce hope. They don't lead to growth. All they do is lead to more performance. You do something to satisfy the family, and all you do while they're satisfied for a moment, then it leads you back to another place where you're having to do more to satisfy the family. You follow the rules for a little while, and all it does is create a cycle in your life in which you have to follow the rules more. And if you don't, there's more guilt and there's more condemnation. You live up to the standard in one moment, and then before you know it, there's another standard that is put on you. There is no hope. There is no joy. There is no peace. It's always going to be slavery. Do not touch this time. Guess what? Next week you can't touch again. And the next week you can't taste again. And it just goes on and on and on. Our joy is robbed. Our peace is robbed. And ultimately, we feel powerless. See, the enemy of your soul, he wants you and I striving in our own efforts. He wants, get this, he wants our mind and our heart to be occupied. Notice what Paul said. Paul said, let your mind and your heart be on things above. Why did Paul say that? He said that because the enemy of your soul, the enemy, Satan, has created a world system in which he wants to occupy your mind and your heart with things that exist within this kingdom. We understand, and the Bible is very clear in Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 and 26, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, that the enemy of our soul, Satan, leads a false kingdom, the kingdom of this earth, a counterfeit kingdom, a kingdom that has been set up against the kingdom of God, a kingdom that God has already defeated and that we know will pass away, that Satan has set up this kingdom and he wants to do everything that he can to get your affection and your concentration on this kingdom. You see, if he can cause us to be about this kingdom, then we're not living in the fullness of the kingdom of God. If he can cause our concentration, if he can cause our heart to beat for the approval, if he can cause our heart to be obsessed with the approval of this kingdom, if he can cause our heart to beat for the things that we might amass or that we might accrue in this life, in this kingdom that will pass away, then he's keeping our mind and he's keeping our heart off the kingdom of God. And listen, friend, all of your potential, all of my potential, it isn't wrapped up in this life. It isn't wrapped up in this existence. All of our potential is wrapped up in the kingdom of God. He wants you and I to be distracted. He wants us to be anxious. He wants us to be obsessed with our standing in his defeated kingdom. He wants us to worry about how we look, how we appear, what people think about us in this life. He wants us obsessed with our career. He wants us obsessed with whether or not we're being a good man or we're being a good woman or whether or not mom or dad would be proud of us. He wants us obsessed with whether or not our neighbor approves of the car we're driving or our coworker really likes the pants that we're wearing today. He wants us caught up in the affections and the worries and the cares of this life. He wants us to perform, and as long as we're performing, we're caught in his system. And yet the Lord has called us. He's not just called us, but he's provided for us space and freedom where we're no longer under the bondage to this world system, but that we are in freedom because of the system that he has created for us. What is that system? Pastor Randy, what does it mean in my everyday life? Notice earlier when I read the scripture to you, Paul said, since you've been raised with Christ, here's what's true about you. And what's true about you, I love this language. I love what he says. He says, you have been hidden in Christ. You have been hidden in Christ. And because you have been hidden in Christ, you're not under the powers or the rules or the authority of this world. Instead, you have freedom, you have life, you are empowered because you have been hidden. What does that mean? I've been hidden in Christ. He says, you have been hidden in Christ, and as Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, you're there because you've been hidden in Christ. If there's anything that I have seen in 2020, it's that many of us feel like 2020 has left us exposed, weak and frail. We're exposed like a prey before an enemy just looking to devour us. And the truth is, friends, when we're measuring ourselves against the system of this world, then of course we're going to be exposed. But what Paul was wanting the church at Colossae to understand is that you and I should not be measuring ourselves according to the system of this world. We're not bound by it. We're not powerless. The measures of our life are not the measures of this life because we have been hidden in Christ. Remember, Paul was writing to Christians and he says, you've been hidden in Christ. Why was this important? It was important because every time as believers that they would try to measure up according to the standards of this world, live up to the standards of their culture, what people thought about them, the old wives' tales, the things that people were concerned about, every time that they did it, they would on their own be moving themselves out from under the covering of Jesus Christ. They would choose themselves to move out from under his covering. And every time they chose to move out from under his covering, they were exposing themselves to the attack of the enemy. It's the See, here's the thing, God, friend. God is calling you and I to understand that our place, our state of being, is under the covering of Christ. Sir, your manhood is not measured by the system of this world. Young mom, your womanhood, your identity isn't measured by whether or not you're doing it all right, whether or not you can juggle all the stuff you're supposed to be juggling and be the perfect little mom and do everything perfectly and live up to the standards of everybody else's ideas about what a good mom is supposed to be. See, that kind of thinking, those kinds of ideas kill us. They kill our soul. I read an article this week talking about the pressure that exists on young adults in South Africa and how there's a whole group of young adults in this country who are absolutely devastated because their society around them has told them by a certain age they were supposed to have their job and their career figured out, and if they hadn't done it, then their lives were going to be over. Then they hadn't satisfied the family, that they had shamed the family. Friend, what are we doing when we create a system and a mentality? And here's the thing, we in the church are participating in it. We're taking scripture out of context and we're creating rules that heap upon people condemnation. Paul was saying to the church at Colossae, that's not who we've been called to be in Christ Jesus. We don't heap condemnation on people. We don't heap rules on people. We don't call people to a place of performance. Instead, we are hidden in Christ. We have an identity that is secure. And because our identity is secure in Christ, no matter what happens to us according to the world standards, we don't have insecurity. We don't have fear. We walk in power. Pastor Andy, how does this make a difference in my life? It makes all the difference in the world. Friend, the question is, what standards are you measuring yourself against? What standards are you measuring yourself against? Are you dealing with anxiety and fear? Is your mind and your heart caught up in the affection and the attention of a system, of a kingdom that is defeated and is broken? Or is your mind and your heart caught up in the system of the kingdom of God? Are you measuring your manhood? Are you measuring your womanhood? Are you measuring your identity against who God said you are and what God has called you to be? Or are you measuring yourself against a system that really doesn't matter? See, I believe God is calling us to walk in freedom, to walk in power. And the power does not come from what we produce in this life. The power comes from being seated with Christ. Now, I don't walk around as an insecure man because I don't make the same amount of money that somebody else makes. I don't walk around trying to prove myself all the time and trying to act a certain way to satisfy my dad or my grandpa or satisfy my neighbor or my boss. No, I know who I am in Christ. I don't walk around all the time depressed and anxious and upset because I'm not as good of a parent as somebody else, or my kids don't go to the school that other people's kids go to, or they don't get their marks on the exam. I'm not living based on the world system. I live with joy. I live with peace. I live with confidence because of who I am in Christ. What system are you living by, friend? Are you walking in power? Are you walking in peace because you're covered, because you're seated in Christ? Or are you walking in anxiety? Are you walking in fear? Are you walking in dread? Are you walking in brokenness? Because you're listening to the do not touch and do not eat and do not taste and all the do nots and you shoulds and all the things from this world, this culture, this life that does nothing but rob us of our peace and cause us to feel powerless. I want to encourage you to stand with me this morning. Those of you who are watching online, I'd like to ask you, if you would, I know you're there by yourself. I'd like to ask you, just close your eyes for a moment. If you're watching online, if you're here with us in the building today, if you would, just close your eyes for a moment. And the reason I ask you to do that is for no other reason other than sometimes closing our eyes just helps us to quiet the distractions on the outside, and just, it allows us to just concentrate. Just hear that internal voice. And here's what I believe this morning. Here's what I know, that as you're here with us online or you're here with us in person, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. The very voice of God is speaking to us. No matter who you are, no matter what your spiritual background is, no matter how much of this message appealed to you or didn't appeal to you, I believe the Lord is causing His word to become a rhema, to become a living word in us right now. And there was something that was shared this morning from the word of God that is just stirring inside of you. Maybe it's almost like an echo in your soul. And as you're there with your eyes closed, I believe as the Lord speaks to you, I just want to encourage you. Respond to what He's saying. Respond to what He's saying. Perhaps the Lord is showing you something that you have believed because you were taught it your whole life. And the truth is, it's not true at all. And it has ruled you. It has worn you out. You've lived your whole life in fear or in performance over an old wives' tale or over a superstition or over a cultural or societal requirement on your life. And it's robbed you of your peace and your joy and your personal power. And the Lord's wanting to show you that right now. The Lord is saying, hey, Randy, you've believed this your whole life and it's not true. You've thought this your whole life and it's not true. Perhaps you're here and you've just felt exposed. Maybe stuff's going on in your life and you have just felt exposed. You felt like, man, I'm just like meat and the enemy is just out there waiting to devour me. And the Lord's wanting to say to you right now, my son, my daughter, you're not exposed. I've got you. You're under my covering. You're under my covering. You're not powerless. You are powerful because I am in you. Lord, every person here, would you just speak to us now in the name of Jesus? Would you just speak to us now? Lord, you know what every one of us needs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you know what every person is facing. You know what every circumstance is. Speak to us, Lord. In just a moment, I'm going to dismiss our service, and when I do, a prayer team will be up here at the front. We're not able to have hands-on prayer time during service with our restrictions that exist right now, but that doesn't mean that we can't do ministry. And I genuinely believe if the Lord was speaking to you today, He wants you to respond to Him. And after service, we're going to have a prayer team around the front, and they'll be here to counsel with you and minister to you if you would like to respond further to what the Lord is speaking to you. And I genuinely want to encourage you. If the Lord is speaking to you, don't rush out the door. Come and allow someone to agree with you and minister to you this morning. If you're watching online, all you have to do is type prayer in the comment section or private message us. We would love to minister to you as well. Don't rush away. Don't rush away from this moment. It's a precious moment. The Lord is speaking to you, and He wants to seal His word in your heart. And so I would encourage you, take advantage of that. Take advantage of that opportunity for ministry. Before we go today, I just want to pray a prayer over all of you. I want to pray a prayer over those who are watching online. Father, I thank you for every man and every woman and every child that's been a part of this service today. I have felt such a significant burden for young mothers today, Lord. I believe that there are many of them who are living under impossible pressure imposed to them by culture, by society, by belief systems. And God, it just does not align with your word, and you have freedom for them today. Lord, I have felt particularly burdened for men today, that there are many of us who are here who are living under pressure, and that pressure has created such insecurity in our hearts because we just can't, there's nothing we can do to perform to get it all right. And every time we get something right, Lord, another curve is thrown our way, and then we find ourselves just right in that cycle of shame and condemnation. And unfortunately, Lord, the church hasn't really been there to help us. Unfortunately, the church, in its own ignorance of God's word, has added on to that. And we're so caught in this performance cycle. Lord, I pray for men today who may be facing that. I pray for women today, Lord, who are caught under this pressure. Pray for everyone that's watching today, everyone that's here. Lord, let this be a week. Let this be a week in which we walk in freedom from the spirits and the spirituality and the belief systems and the rules that have caused us to feel choked and lifeless. Paul said that we are seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father. We are covered. We are covered. Lord, I pray, may every person here feel and know the covering of Jesus Christ. May they know the strength and the confidence and the peace and the power that comes from being seated in Christ. Let this be a week of victory. Let this be a week, Holy Spirit, where you make us aware of the crazy things that we have believed all of our life. Holy Spirit, I invite you all week long, reveal to us the old wives' tales and the superstitions and the cultural and societal things that we have allowed to define us rather than allowing ourselves to be defined through Christ. Show us all week long and let us shed those things so that we might have freedom. I ask it in Jesus' name. Over every person here and every person watching. Amen and amen. Thank you again for being here. The prayer team is available to you if you'd like prayer. Please have a great week in the Lord.